Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Hey everyone, it is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Eyes Up here on the iHeartRadio Network or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Chad. Hey Chad, what's going on?
I'm ready to get extreme.
You want to get extreme?
I'm ready to get extreme with the Queen of Extreme.
I love that. Extreme! That's great. What are we going to talk about today? I know.
Today's episode features the top five ECW angles that still hold up and five that age poorly, according to the Sportster website.
Now, the Sportster, we disagreed with them in the past, haven't we?
We have.
Okay. Is this the one with the British guy that you were making fun of, his voice?
More than likely. They're all British guys.
I love their accents, though. I could listen to them all day long. Well, I will give my two cents if, you know, I disagree. And I assume you will do the same. But there's a lot of these guys out there that just will crap on the product. And they don't get it. They don't get the angles we were trying to pull off or, you know, the bumps we were trying to take or the psychology, they just don't get it. So these writers sometimes miss the mark. So curious to see what they think is good and what they think is crappy.
Yeah, I agree. We've watched them on Patreon before and we've watched more of the videos. This is going to be an actual article. And this is also from 2020. So, you know, I don't know if the author of this article still feels the same way. But in terms of something that you look at as being, you know, a discussable topic, ECW's been gone since 2001. So yeah. The debate ended the moment the doors were closed. So you being the one who was involved in a lot of angles and I'm sure watched a lot of the products, you are the best person to ask this. Now, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Take out any of the ones that you were in. What's one that just stands out to you before we dive into the list that just not a personal favorite, but just one that stands out to you as one that holds up?
Well, I mean, I think it was the worst angle we ever did, but the crucifixion angle, that one's will always stick out like a sore thumb to me because I absolutely positively hated it. Thought it was in poor taste. And in listening to this podcast, the one episode where AEW did something on Good Friday with, remember we discussed that as well. So they were trying to like redo an angle that we did years ago. I just think that was one of the worst angles in wrestling history. And it's embarrassing. I'm so glad. You know, if they had asked me to be a part of it, I would have absolutely rejected it and said, absolutely not. There's no way I would have done anything like that. And people can say, oh, again, it's just wrestling or it's just an angle, but it's in poor taste. I think that was one of the worst angles in the history, not even in ECW, in the history of professional wrestling. I absolutely loathed it.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to give you a spoiler per se, but I am going to jump ahead just a little bit just to show you that you and the Sportster agree, because their number 9 aged poorly angle, or their number 2 aged poorly angle, is Raven and Sandman's crucifixion.
Yeah, I just didn't. And to even have like Tyler out there as a child, like, was he out there during? I can't even remember if he was part of this, but you know, there were kids in the audience, and it's just in poor taste. It was disgusting to me. And I know there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in religion and who are atheists, and that is fine. But when you are insulting the majority, you need to think twice about what you're putting out. And this one was just a disgusting, cheap way to get some kind of reaction. And when you have people walking out and wanting their money back, there's a problem. I'm not saying the whole arena walked out, but there were people who were offended and stood up and walked out. I've never seen that happen at one of our shows before. It's the first time I've ever seen that happen. So, this will never age well in my mind. And when people say, like, what's the worst thing you guys ever did? I always say crucifixion angle.
Also cost you guys Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah. He got pissed and walked out, too. He was just like, I'm out of here. Which was probably the best thing he could have did, because we didn't have WWF's money at the time. And that's where he ended up. And look at the career he had.
That's a great. I just don't know how he would have fit, you know. And even when you see the footage of him in the ring, it just doesn't look right.
Well, I think he would have fit in fine, because we had the Malenkos and the Eddie Guerreros and the
Fit well in 95. I'm talking about that 96 on ECW, or like at least 96 ECW. I can't see Kurt Angle in there.
I can, because
you can? Rockwell better than I do.
He was a he was a pure wrestler. He came from that amateur wrestling background and an Olympic gold medal. Like, I just saw him as one of our top guys. I think Paul would have pushed him to the moon, but I just don't think that he would have had the money that he had over. In fact, I know he probably wouldn't have had the money that he had with Vince McMahon and WWF. So, but I think it was a blessing for Kurt, and it was a curse for us. Because I think we really had a missed opportunity by losing him. But I remember he was outraged. And he was just like, what is going on? We're just like, okay. So Incredible. You win some, you lose some. But it just, you know, as a Catholic, Christian Catholic, whatever you want to call it, I was highly offended by that angle. And I've said this so many times, I got it right in Paul's face and was like, that was disgusting. You need to go and apologize. You need to get somebody out there and say they're sorry. And my God, when Scotty went out there, Raven, it was the worst apology I've ever
had. Yeah.
His heart was not into it. He did not want to do it. He was forced to do it. I'm not saying I was the one who got them to get him to do the apology, but I did make myself very vocal in saying that was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. I was so outraged, and reluctantly Paul sent him out there. So, you know, you have a Jew, Paul Heyman's Jewish, and Scotty.
Yeah, he's Jewish too, right?
And Sandman is an atheist. So they had no dog in the fight in that, and it didn't bother them, but my God, did it bother everybody else. And right. I was probably one of the only ones who had the balls to open my mouth and say, not cool. So I don't know.
Yeah, Kurt Angle, you lost out on the Kurt Angle, Taz, you lost out on Kurt Angle, Shane, you know.
There was a lot that we could have done with Kurt. Yeah, because like Shane and I stood with him before that angle happened. He seemed generally excited to be there. Like, you know, he seemed like he was ready to go and happy about being in the building and meeting everybody. And then once he saw what he saw, he was gone. Like, whoever took him there is like, get me out of here. And that was it. And I was like, yeah, great. Great going, Paul. Way to go.
One of those what ifs.
Yeah, exactly.
Wrestling lore.
Right.
All right. So let's get back to the top of the countdown here. So this is in the holds up column. Okay. And I would 100% agree with this. And I think you know the person in the picture pretty well. The angle that they have holding up very well is Tommy Dreamer and Raven. And oh, I spy one Queen of Extreme in the picture.
Right.
Okay. That is Raven's return. So they are saying that they put the Tommy Dreamer Raven angle as a whole at the top of this list, where the entire duration of it from start to finish, their feud going back being kids at summer camp, the inclusion of Beulah, the fact that Tommy could never beat Raven, the fact it took them till he finally did beat Raven in the Loser Leaves Town match. And then what happens? Oh, Raven's back. Then they're tag champs together. The love-hate relationship, your inclusion, then all the fighting in between the three of you. It never stopped with this this duo.
No, and I feel like part of the reason why this can hold up well is myself included in this, but people like when angles go longer than 3 weeks. We've talked about this. Everybody flip-flops anymore. Paul knew how to tell a story and make it last, you know, extend it and keep people wanting more. And because Tommy never beat Raven, the storyline could continue because there was always the chase. There was always the hunt, you know, am I ever going to beat him? I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And the crowd was invested in it. And I had said prior, my involvement in this wasn't my favorite angle. I didn't like the fact that they were fighting over me. I thought it was just like a continuation of what they did round one. And here we have a different girl. Well, let's fight over her now. No, I didn't like that. I would have liked to have been incorporated, but some kind of creative way that didn't include a romantic love triangle, because it had been done already. And it worked and people were into it. But for me, I just would have preferred it go a different route.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's I can see, like, you know, if they used you as like, you know, you're the manager of the champions, somebody needs you in their corner rather than do the romantic angle. But again, you know, of course, it adds a dimension, but I see exactly what you mean by it's just the retread of what they did. Yeah.
I mean, the difference with this one is I actually leave Tommy and I go to Raven.
Right. Right.
So that was the kind of mix up that we did to make it different than the first one. But, and even still, I just didn't like the whole romantic love triangle. It was just, I don't know. It was done already. And I just wanted it to go like a different way. And I would have loved just to do something creative with it that we didn't do prior. But, you know, I just went along with what they told me to do. So.
I was never a Dreamer guy. I was all about Raven.
Yeah.
It was all on a Raven.
Didn't you wear a costume?
I was dressed up as Raven, Halloween, nerd. 96. Oh,
what a mark. What a mark.
Come on.
Wow.
I was searching for an identity. Mm-hmm. Hey, at least it was in high school and not now. Like, you see everybody dressing up.
I don't know what you wear in your house now. You could be still walking around looking like.
You saw me in my house. I dress the same I do in the house as I do when I'm on the show.
Okay.
Oh, this is a good one. And I agree with this one wholeheartedly. Holds up well, I would say.
Okay.
The 1997 invasion angle.
Ah.
The WWF. the WWF invasion angle of ECW, Jerry Lawler, extremely crappy wrestling, Mr. Monday Night RVD. Would you agree with this one?
Yeah, I think so. I think any organization right now can do something like this just to incorporate, like, let's say, like, wasn't there supposed to be a working angle back in the day with AEW bringing in TNA or Impact talent for a hot minute, you know, and that's just a way to get TNA talent over on a bigger platform. You know what I mean? And so I think it works. I mean, if the two can come to agreement and work together, I think it benefits both companies. It benefits the talent. So I think it's a good thing to do stuff like that. I'm not really sure nowadays, you know, people want to be associated with each other. Anyway, it just seems like there's a big war going on who can be number one, which you all know it's WWE now, forever. And what's their slogan? Then, now, forever. It's always going to be WWE. But I think joining forces and collabing, you know, two feds doing stuff like this, I think it's good for everyone. And I just think it helps the product. It gets more eyes on both organizations. So when we did stuff like this, having Jerry Lawler come down and then mentioning us on, you know, like Monday Night Raw, it gave us more of a rub than obviously it gave them, because they didn't need it. But it was still beneficial for everyone, especially for like someone like Rob Van Dam, who later goes there and becomes a megastar, you know? And I just saw a video of Jerry, and he had, what did he have, like a stroke or something?
Yes. Yeah, major, major stroke.
Yeah. And it, oh my God, it was breaking my heart. Like the lady was like touring his man cave, and he was just walking around, just, you know, talking about the good old days and stuff. And I love Jerry Lawler. He's always been great to me. But what, you know, when he came down, I remember when he came to ECW, we hardly even saw him. Like the one night, I think he had like his own dressing area. He never came and sat with us and stuff. Maybe he didn't like ECW back then. I don't know. But he was always professional. And it just, I think it gave us an extra oomph that we needed, because it got more eyes on our product. So I think other companies could do it today and still good to go. It just helps everyone involved.
It goes back to, so Paul appears on the WWF Livewire show as a caller, right? That was like the first little crossover that they had.
Oh, that was when Tammy was answering the phones.
Yes. Yeah. And it was like, you know, he was like, you know, John in White Plains, and they were like, no, this is Paul in Philadelphia, you know, and Vince, because Vince was on the show. Then it was Dreamer, Paul, and Sandman in the crowd at Mind Games, which was in Philly at the Spectrum.
And that's where they're holding up their tickets.
Yeah, that's where they hold up the tickets. Yeah. And then Taz is in the crowd with a, you know, Vince Fears ECW sign, right? That, I think that was the next night. Then it was Jerry Lawler starts calling out ECW, extremely crappy wrestling, leading up to the Raw. We've talked about it. It's on the YouTube channel. We're not going to dive into the full thing again. It's a long story. The Raw you were not at, where the crossover pay-per-view promotion was such a huge deal, where it went back and forth between WWF and ECW on a Monday Night Raw at the Manhattan Center, like nuts.
Right.
To lead to the picture we're seeing on our screen is actually when it switched over to Raw's War. They did it again, where they did a debate between Paul Heyman and Jerry Lawler, where guys came back and forth, where there was another ECW crossover, which was an odd one. It was RVD representing, I think it was RVD or Sabu representing ECW, taking on Triple Threat member Chris Candido.
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
Not really, no.
He's in an ECW jacket. Okay. He is in his full-fledged Triple Threat, you know, dominance. He's a part of your faction.
Right.
He comes out to the ECW theme song. Paul's on commentary, mentions the Triple Threat. Chris holds up the three, but there's no, you know.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. So, yeah, if you've never seen that, that's something to check out. But it was part of this invasion angle. But then, of course, the big culmination, is, I forget the pay-per-view or the event at the arena where the lights go out, Jerry Lawler's in the ring,
yeah,
the place goes friggin' nuts, lights go out, Jim Cornette's in the ring, and it's one of the most memorable moments in ECW history.
Right, right. Yeah. So, very cool.
Holds up.
Sure does.
All right. Now, this one, this is not an angle. This is an incident.
Oh.
Okay. So, it aged poorly because it was a catastrophe at the time. It's a catastrophe now, but it sure ain't an angle. Mass transit.
Yeah, I was there for that. Again, I did not watch it when it went down. I was in the locker room when it happened. But this is an example of, you can't just let anybody talk you into doing something. This kid had no credentials. All we went by was what he was telling us. He lied about his age. He lied about working. He lied about everything. And I have no clue how he even got into negotiations that evening for working this match. Like, where did you ever hear, like, where we found this kid? Because I know his dad was in the audience, and this was up in Boston. His father was there. His dad was there. So his father took him, but he wasn't the age that he said he was. He wasn't an established worker. I don't know if he came early and was like, because, you know, a lot of the times we would have guys come for tryouts and they'd come early and we would pull up and there'd be like 20 indie guys in the front of the building just waiting for us to get in there, and they wanted to try out and work. So I don't know if this kid did the same thing. I don't know where he came.
I think that's what he did.
Okay. But to tell, you know, somebody that you have X amount of experience, you've been working so many years and blah, and you're, you know, I don't know how old he told us he was, but he wasn't. He lied about everything. Now, did Jack take it too far? Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. But the kid wouldn't have been in that position if he didn't lie. I guess he just wanted to do it so badly, and it unfortunately cost him his life. So yeah. it's just a terrible situation, and I still won't go back and watch it. I've never watched it. I have no interest in seeing it.
It's pretty brutal.
And you know, I've said it before, a lot of the times these guys get overzealous in the ring with the green kids. And, you know, I never understood why somebody would deliberately hurt someone. Because in our business, we're trying to protect each other. But according to veterans, it's like, well, you have to break them in and you have to show them what they're getting into and blah, blah, blah. But not to the point where they can't. I mean, I've seen guys leave the ring crying. Like, actually sobbing. And the boys would make fun of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's a limit to how far you can push somebody before they break. I just didn't like the ritual. It's like the hazing stuff. Mm-hmm. I still don't get that either. I don't think it has any part in a locker room. But, I guess I'm in the minority. And thank God I didn't really have to go through that because I'm a female. But, you know, I've seen guys take it too far with these kids and legitimately hurt them to where they never came back. And then if you did come back, then you get their respect. And it's like, come on. You know, break somebody's nose or, you know, give them a concussion deliberately just to show them that you're a vet. And I don't know. I never understood that. I never agreed with it. I never will. But this kid took it too far. Like, yeah. He shouldn't have even been in that ring.
Would never happen now.
I would hope not, you know. And I loved New Jack. I loved New Jack. Don't get me wrong, but it was way too much. Come on.
Yeah, I completely agree. And of course, probably the most, you know, violent incident in ECW's history.
Oh God, for sure.
Or wrestling history.
Not wrestling.
No, God, no. Yeah,
that's brutality.
Yeah,
that's just way too much for me.
All right, now this one, I mean, I don't know if this would make my list, but I'm sure it probably holds up. Terry Funk and Raven leading into Barely Legal 97.
I mean, I can see it. I think it would get over now. Not a 97-year-old Terry Funk, you know, but at that age, people loved Terry. Terry can do no wrong. So any angle that he was in, I feel got over and would probably get over today. Now, maybe not the bunkhouse bunk Terry Funk, but, just Terry Funk coming out to my favorite Desperado, you know. The Terry Funk and Raven was a great story.
Yeah, it's a good story. I just don't know, you know, if you're going to – five angles to hold up, yes. But, you know, maybe if you're looking at the top ones of ECW, I don't know if it's
– well, this isn't the top.
Yeah, I know. You're right. It's not the top. So I shouldn't be looking that much into it. But it's a good one, you know. I mean, the old veteran winning – going after the world title, you know, the young, brash – bad guy telling him he's old and he should just retire and go back to his ranch.
It could be said for a lot of guys out there. We have a lot of aging wrestlers out there that this could stand up to if they wanted to, you know, do an angle with a younger worker. And I think it would get over, you know, because the crowd was 100% behind Terry Funk in this.
Right.
So big baby face.
All right, first major heat alert with this list, because their list is officially flawed.
Oh, on your end, okay.
The Zombie. Oh,
what?
This is not ECW.
No, this shouldn't even be on there.
Come on. Yes, it aged poorly because it's
Wait, look at the guy in the black shirt behind him with his hands like this. What the hell's going on?
It aged poorly because it was awful, but this is not ECW. They have the Zombie from the debut edition of ECW on Sci-Fi from the WWE version.
They're not really talking about the Zombie here. They're talking about the first episode.
Oh, the first episode.
Yes.
Okay. But if you want to say the best part of this opening segment is the Sandman comes out and canes the shit out of the Zombie and looks great.
I feel like they're just referring to, I think they're referring to the fake ECW as a company. I think the whole ECW thing was a failure and did not age well. I don't know how long it lasted. How long did that even last? Like 2 years?
So technically it lasted till like 2009.
Okay. So 3 years.
It went on for a while.
Yeah. Okay. 3 years. The whole thing was a failure. It was a missed opportunity. People wanted to see, I want to use the word nostalgia because people missed the original ECW. People wanted to see us in our own element. They didn't want to see characters that were not involved. They didn't want to see, you know, us doing things that were so far out there. And the explanation is we're on Sci-Fi. No, there is no connection between us and the Sci-Fi network. That's why the Zombie was on that show.
Right.
They even wanted aliens on the show.
Well, you know, a good buddy of mine was also on that show for a reason.
I mean, well, no offense to him, but it did not gel.
No.
And I'm telling you what, everybody who signed, because before we all signed our contracts, everybody was talking to everybody on the phone. People were calling each other. What are you going to do? Are you going to sign? I don't know. Are you going to sign? The only reason why we did it was for the money. None of us had high hopes for this company, and we all knew it was going to fail. At least my circle of friends knew. So we were doomed from the start, and we knew it. And I knew for a fact that my three-year contract was not going to last 3 years. Called it as soon as I put my John Hancock on that paper. So it was just the catastrophe from the get-go. And if you're going to do something, do it right. Don't do it half-ass. And that was done half-ass.
Pretty half-ass. You know, I mean, I remember seeing it as a fan, the rumor that it was going to be on Sci-Fi and that they were going with the Sci-Fi characters. You're like, come on. That's not true. That's not going to happen.
It was so ridiculous. that it just infuriated most of the locker room. We would just sit there and be like, what the hell is going on? That's why every week I would just try and leave early and get the hell out of there. Just trying to dodge people and run away.
But you know, it's so weird. So I just pulled it up. I went to, and I'm sure you're probably at this show somewhere. I went to ECW, WWE ECW at the Wachovia Center, which is now the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia, on July 4th, 2006. Okay. Mm-hmm. ECW on Sci-Fi. It was a Tuesday, so it was a taping, right? This was a damn good show. I remember this show being very, very good. Mm-hmm. Not having the zombie, you know, not having the sci-fi elements.
A poor zombie, man. He went around after, I think it was at a convention, like everybody was at one of the conventions, and he apologized for his character. And I think it was Sandman who was like, brother, there's no heat on you. It was management that was just like, oh, come on, this is ridiculous. But nobody blamed the kid for doing the character. You know, you do what you're told to do. As ridiculous as it was, he was just doing what the office told him to do. So there was never heat on, I don't even know what his name was, but whoever
zombie.
Played. You know what I mean?
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Check out the results. Roadkill defeated Tony Mameluke. CM Punk defeated CW Anderson. Sabu defeated Stevie Richards. Tommy Dreamer defeats Justin Credible. How about that on a show in 2006, okay? Mike Knox defeated Little Guido. Test defeated Al Snow. The Big Show defeated RVD. To win the championship. So that's that was the night before, was the RVD weed thing.
Okay.
That's a damn good show.
Sounds good on paper. I don't know if it was in person.
Sure, I was there, but 1,500 people in the Wachovia Center.
Ooh.
That's some AEW vibes.
Yikes.
Right there.
Would you stop with your digs? Knock it off. Be nice.
And then I went to an ECW, WWE ECW show in Toms River, New Jersey that you were on. I know that for a fact.
Oh. Okay.
You know what you did on that show?
No.
Bikini contest.
Of course. I was just going to say, was it
against Kelly? Let's see. And then Sandman came out and beat up Matt Stryker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. Back to the countdown. This one 100% held up. Taz versus Sabu.
Oh, one of the best not only angles, but buildups, never letting them touch for all those months. Have you ever seen that in your life?
No.
It was brilliant. And the fans, is this the night? Is this the night they're going to touch? Is this the night it's going to happen? Nope. You're going to have to wait. And it was creatively, like, Paul just knew what worked and usually what didn't work. Take away the crucifixion angle, but he knew what he had on his hands with this and just waiting and waiting and waiting. It was just that anticipation that when they finally touched, the place exploded.
Crazy.
And it was such a huge pop. Huge pop, and something that people still talk about to this day with those two. And I bet you if you asked Taz and Sabu, they would put it over as one of the greatest things they've ever done. Because it made such an impact.
Yeah, so many layers, too.
It was awesome.
Paul kind of breaking character as well and getting himself involved to say how Sabu no-showed, was in Japan, rather be over there. You know,
that was a shoot.
Yeah, but telling that to the audience, you know, yeah. And doing voiceovers and explaining everything. And then I think it was November to Remember 96 was the one where they teased it going off the air with the two of them in the ring.
Oh yeah. It was great. It's just a standoff.
Unbelievable. They showed that every week for months, that clip.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, I sound like a friggin' old head, but they don't do stuff like that anymore. Mm-mm. They should. Bring it back. Somebody steal it.
Bring it back.
Bring it back, man.
All right. So now this one, they say aged poorly, but I don't know. I kind of like it. Just me. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Kimona and Beulah.
Of course you would like that. Why wouldn't you like that? Why do they think it aged poorly?
Let's see. ECW wasn't known for its great portrayal of women.
Really?
With a few exceptions, women played the roles of objects to be fought over or lusted after. While a lot of this can be chalked up to being a product of its time, Kimona Wanalea is a different story, especially the angle with Beulah. To give credit where credit is due, this is believed to be the first major lesbian angle in a wrestling promotion. However, the fact that it was done for titillation and shock value rather than the story that makes us want to forget the whole thing ever happened.
Back then, yeah, that was shock value. Today, that wouldn't be a big deal because look at all the nonsense they show on TV. On free cable, like this wouldn't have been so shocking, you know. But back then, you didn't see stuff like this, so I wouldn't say it aged poorly. I still think it was like a wow moment in ECW, and on other lists, like people put it over like it's the greatest thing ever that ever happened in the world. and that's all men, by the way. But I mean, if you did something like this today, it would get a pop, but not the reaction it got in 1996 or whenever this was done. So,
it was great. I think the other angle involving Beulah with the pregnancy would be the bigger shocker now than even then. I mean, and it got a pretty big shocking reveal then.
Yeah. It just made her look like a whore. All these angles made her look like a whore, you know? But I told the story before, she didn't even want to do the angle. And she, you know, I had a discussion with her and she's like, I just don't want to do this. And I was told, I think it was by Dreamer, like, you tell her if she doesn't do it, she's fired. Wow. And I was just like, whoa. And when I told her, she was very upset about it. And I was like, better her than me because I'm not doing this crap, you know?
Yeah, it's incredible again because today this wouldn't even be blinked at, right?
No,
but I mean, you know, maybe they would say it's portraying it in a negative light. That could also be done, you know, like say that's the reveal isn't done so tastefully, but it was shocking.
Yeah, I mean,
13 at the time you saw that, you lost your mind.
I've seen indie shows now where two guys are making out in the ring. Like, they're just, it's very open. Sexuality is very open. Effie, is that how you say his name? The big gay brunch or the big gay whatever he does. Like, it's very common now. And it's not, there's no shock value whatsoever when it comes to sexuality, I think.
It's the lockup on that show. It's the opening lockup on the first
one. Yeah, right. But you know what I mean? Like, back then, you didn't really see stuff like that. If you saw anybody kissing, it was a male and a female. And that was it. And today, it's very common. And people just, you know, especially on indies, they just do whatever the hell they want and incorporate whatever they want. So nothing shocks me anymore. But back then, that was pretty shocking.
This is completely visual for the two of us. I know this is an audio podcast. I got to ask about that ring. Is that what it always looked like? There's blue tape.
I used to say it was, if you want hepatitis B, roll around in a ring. Like, yeah, it was disgusting. I think most of the stains, I don't know if we ever had it professionally cleaned, but those stains were blood.
I could see the... Yeah, you see the brownish, you know,
that's blood.
Yeah, you see that. You could see it. Like, those are blood stains. Jerry, the Jerry Seinfeld joke: if blood stains on your garments are your biggest problem, maybe dry cleaning is something you don't need to worry about.
Yeah, so you know. I don't know how often they got in there with the Lysol or the that stuff the you steam, use on your carpet,
the steam cleaner. You know, you go to ShopRite and rent the rug cleaner.
No, there were always stains out there. Yeah. Look at the tape.
Yeah, there it is. I wasn't showing you. There it is.
Look at the tape because there's holes.
The tape.
There's holes everywhere and stains.
2, 3, 4. 4 blue duct tape or electrical tape.
Well, it was ripped.
Marks.
It had problems. Yeah, you have to remember too, there's been barbed wire in that ring ripping stuff up. I don't know. Look, we didn't have that WWE, AEW money bankroll to just keep buying new tarp and rings and all this stuff. We had to make do. That's why we were edgy and gritty and cool.
We were.
Yes, we were.
You know, but if, hey, look, she was uncomfortable with it, their hair drops down. They didn't have to do anything. They just need to roll around.
Yeah. I know. But still, it's just the image, I think.
I got it.
You know, and... You can work, look, you can work anything. You can work anything when you're with your partner out there. You can make it look like $1 million, but work it. And that's what they did. So I don't think they were tonguing each other like the guys in the audience thought they were.
Damn it.
Sorry. Sorry to disappoint you. But I just don't think that happened.
All right. This one. 100% holds up because you could slot one of these guys on somebody's television and continue the angle tonight. Cyrus and Joey Styles.
That whole network angle was just true, but brilliant. Like, you know, Paul saw what the network TNN was doing to us and he just ran with it. It's like, what do we have to lose? Are we going to piss them off? Yeah. So what? We're under a contract and we have until this day to do something. So we're going to take the ball and we're going to run with it. And that's exactly what he did. And I think some of Joey's best work was in this angle because he's always like the timid little Joey, you know what I mean? And here he's got a set of balls and he's just standing up to Cyrus. And it led to them actually fighting at one point. And I love to see that kind of stuff because he's more than an announcer.
Yeah.
Joey became one of he was always one of the boys, but he became like a character in an angle, not just the play-by-play guy, the color guy, the announcer guy. You know, people were like chanting for Joey to beat the shit out of Cyrus. And everybody wanted to see that. You could have made a match. That could have been like an actual pay-per-view match if Joey wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And it would have been brilliant.
Now he got it super aggressive. It would then lead to stuff he did later too. You know, he got a lot more physical.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, it was great.
He was more than an announcer. And he became one of, you know, like a character. Like one of the wrestlers, even though he wasn't a wrestler. But you don't have to be a wrestler to be a personality in wrestling. Again, Don Callis is a wrestler. Don, they could have did something and Don could have carried him and Joey could have beat the shit out of him and Don would have made Joey look like $1 million. I guarantee you. That would have been so awesome to see. I mean, we got a little snippet and a little taste here and there, but if they actually had like a full-blown feud pay-per-view match, oh, how great would that have been? It would have been excellent. I would have loved to have seen that.
They're nice on the February 2001 pay-per-view.
If it ever happened. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I'm saying you could pluck Joey Styles out of where he's at today and put him on AEW television and continue it tonight if you wanted to.
He is such a lost piece of talent. He should still be in the business calling the action.
He'd probably be in AEW.
Maybe. I don't know.
Tony would 100% have gone after Joey Styles.
It's such
a shame. Lock, stock, and barrel.
I spoke to him, I want to say 3 years ago. I had contacted him to come on our show when I was up here.
I remember.
And he declined. And he said, I'm doing nothing with wrestling. And I was just like, not even for me. Because he always used to tell me, like, you're my favorite, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, I would love to, but I just can't do it. And I don't know if he's afraid of that stupid, what was it, the ROH commentary? Or
it was, no, it was, not, was it Gabe Sapolsky's federation?
It wasn't ROH?
It wasn't ROH. It was, okay. Was it Evolve? It was one of those little side, semi-popular ones out of like that
who cares
silly area that he made a comment and they crucified him and it was so ridiculous because he was doing so well on his comeback after WWE let him know. It was a political like comment and he was crucified and it was such that was where you almost like got to give him credit for being like, you know what, F you, I'm out of here. You know, you're going to treat me like this. I'm never coming back.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, no.
There's no blame in it. It's just wasted. It's talent that's wasted because he was so good at what he did. And I feel like if you brought him to WrestleCon this year, oh my God, his line would be out the door.
Yeah.
And I told him that. I was like, look, you should really look into doing some of the bigger cons.
Yeah.
Nobody's judging you for anything. There are people who have said far worse than him and are still walking around with their head held high.
Getting $500 a signature.
Unbelievable. It irritates me because he's so good at what he did and he's such a nice guy and I would love to see him back on the circuit, but you're never going to see him again.
From a signing point of view, I never made more in one single day than I did when I worked with Joey Styles.
Oh, okay.
We brought him into the arena. The first signing he did after he was released by WWE in 2017. I've never held that much cash in my hand at once.
Really? Was it in Icons?
It was the second or third Icons.
Wow.
Up to that point. I've since held more because I worked with William Shatner. But, you know, Joey... They turned out in droves.
Yeah. And they would again.
Yeah.
He hasn't been seen in so long.
Such a shame. A professional, like just like so on top of everything. And again, this is a guy who's like, you know what? You're going to treat me like this. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And it's your own fault.
Good for him.
And that's it. Yeah. Stood his ground.
He stands up for what he believes in. And I get it. It's just sad on a personal level for me because I was such close friends with him. And admired him for his work ethic and what he's done for wrestling. And I just feel like it's such a waste of talent not being used because he's wonderful at what he did.
So, agree.
Sad.
All right, we've come to the last one. This is an aged poorly.
Okay.
Again, I don't think that this should be on the list, but again, this is their list. We will have a quick discussion afterwards for what has been omitted. Aged poorly. Vince McMahon, ECW champion.
Get out of here with that. That's not even a thing. This has nothing to do with ECW.
2007 ECW champion.
This goes up there with what's his name? David Arquette being WCW champion. My book. You know what I mean? Why did he even need the belt? Does Vince McMahon need a belt? No, absolutely not. No one wants to see him as ECW champion. No one wants to see him as champion of anything. I know I don't. I just want to see him on Netflix telling his story. That's all I want to do.
I just would like to say that the person who put this article together more than likely never watched ECW.
I don't know if they did or not, but this should not be on the list.
Holy shit.
This should be like in the fake EC. They have to have a composite of the fake ECW failures. This should be the number one failure for the WWE/ECW show. For the 3 years or whatever.
Okay. I'm going to read you the first sentence. And this is why I'm going to cement that statement right here. Yes, you read that, right? The chairman of WWE booked himself as ECW's champion in 2007, putting him on the same list as legends like Taz, Don Morocco, and CM Punk.
Mm-hmm.
The three names synonymous with the ECW championship. Taz, yes. Don Morocco and CM Punk. Don Morocco, ECW champion, of course. I will not recognize one of my favorite guys of all time. But
Punk was the fake ECW as well.
Yeah, but like Don Morocco, that's the one guy
You're partial. You would have put Shane Douglas in that.
I would have, but where's Sandman? Where's Raven? Where's Sabu?
He's just giving a couple examples. He's not.
Don Morocco was the first name that came to the list.
Look, all I know is this man should not have a belt around his waist, and it should not be an ECW title. And the fake ECW should not be associated with the original ECW. I hate when people make that, you know, distinction. Like it's a different entity. It's not the same company. It's not ECW. Matt Cardona always jokes around online and puts a picture of himself up and says, I am an ECW original. And he does it for heat. You know, he's not stupid. He knows how to generate heat and stuff. And like one time I put like the side eye. I was like, oh, please, you know, the side eye. But the fans get so pissed off. They're like, well, that's not the real ECW and blah, blah, blah. And it's just stuff like this is a slap in the face. Not only to us, but to just the boys. Like, why does Vince have to have this belt around his waist? What is this doing for his character? Nothing. It's just annoying to look at. Yeah. He does not need a belt. He didn't need it. He draws enough heat without it. And he just looks ridiculous. I'm sorry. This is worse than the mustache, in my opinion.
I know, right? Can you imagine the guy with the mustache wearing that belt? Yes. when he's with one of his ladies?
No, I don't want to imagine that at all. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Yeah,
it shouldn't even be on the...
That was ridiculous. And he was also wearing his do-rag because that's after he lost his hair to Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Well,
Okay, obvious, huge, gigantic, astronomical omission, the halo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was a pretty... Well, you know, could that stand up in today's business? Do you think?
Does that age well or age poor?
Right. What do you think?
I'm going to say well because of the heat you guys got.
I think with anybody with an injury, somebody attacking the injury, you know, gets heat on that person, sympathy for the baby face. So, yeah, I think it aged well. I think it would hold up today if somebody did it in 2024. Absolutely. I think, honestly, and I'm not just saying this because I was involved with it, but that angle was one of the heaviest heat-seeking missile angles that we've ever done. The heat that was on Shane and I for that was astronomical. And I know we had a lot of heels in the business and they drew a lot of heat, but I'm sorry, I've never seen people jump the guard. And I'm talking about an ECW. I've never seen people like try and jump the guardrail and attack people like I did that evening. I've never seen it. So, you know, we drew a hell of a lot of heat.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. Now, how about an age poor? Anything that can come to mind? We gave one age well, let's give an age poor.
Hmm. God, there's so, I mean, 7 years worth of stuff that I can say I was there for. It's a lot.
Just trying to think quick. How about Cactus Jack constantly bringing up Eric Bischoff?
Well, I mean, he was on his way out the door. It was kind of like a, it was just
I thought it got to be a little too much. It was like, all right, we get it. You know,
too redundant for you.
Yeah, it was like, okay, you know, he's the guy, we don't like him. It's WCW, like WCW kind of sucks at that point. It's like, okay, great.
Just go. Just leave.
That's a part of your character is that you love Eric Bischoff. Like, okay.
He was calling him Uncle Eric.
Uncle Eric, yeah, yeah. And he had him on his tights and, you know, like, yeah.
Right. I don't know. I feel like most of the stuff that we did was a hit. We had some misses, like, obviously, like, nobody bats 1,000 all the time. I think overall, though, if you ask the fans, I think they would give us a thumbs up for content. And you can definitely go back to whatever you watch us on and say this angle is still relevant and can be used in 2024. Most of the stuff we did back then, you could still pull off today. And we get that when we do signings, Shane, and I always get that from fans. Like, man, I don't watch the current product. I watch you guys, and it's still over in this day and age. So that's a testament to just Paul and whoever was in on those angles in creative, you know, and we're proud of that. So I think overall we aged well as a company.
I mean, I think you can hold it up extremely well when you look at anything past, you know, 2015-ish. You know, it's gone very corny over the last 5 to 6, 7 years. It's
some things have. There's some cool things that are out there now. Don't get us wrong.
Oh, don't get me. Yeah, I completely not agree.
On this sport.
No, not at all.
Just talking about, you know, what happened 30 years ago. If you can say, man, that's still cool in 2024, then you did something right, you know? So it's fun to look back and compare and see what's hot and what's not. But I do think that ECW was a company that did it differently, did it well, and could still hold court in this day and age.
Well said. All right. Well, we will wrap that up for today. If you'd like to catch more of us, you can head on over to the YouTube channel where we've got a plethora of extra content going on. I mean, if you haven't caught the legendary WWF commercial that Francine starred in with one Vince McMahon, I heard they were making it into a movie. Did you hear about that?
Who's playing me?
We're still casting for it. I'm a consultant on it.
Oh, okay. Have you heard about it? It's me. No, I haven't heard about it.
Yeah, you know, it's Jennifer Lawrence might be be brought in. He's gonna play Jesus. So, you know, did you hear that?
What? Oh yes, please. That's a whole another episode.
In poor taste.
Don't even start me. That did not age well. In my opinion.
So we've got some great content on there. You know, grab yourself a membership. Starts at $5.99. We've got full episodes of the iHeartRadio show. We've also got some old Patreon content as well as some exclusive content we've uploaded as well. So you'll be missing out if you don't head over to YouTube and join the party, if you will.
All right. Just plugging my Wrestling Universe appearance February 10th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. In Queens, New York. I'll be there with the Sandman, Todd Gordon, RVD, and maybe Just Incredible. I'm still not sure if he's going to be
there. You know what? I just passed it on your timeline. Just Incredible is there at the same time as you.
At the same time. Oh, good. Yeah. Okay. So the five of us will be in store signing from 2 to 5. So if you're in the Queens area or can get to the Queens area, come on out and see us. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at ECW Diva Francine. I hope you're staying safe. I hope you are staying healthy. And most of all, I hope you are staying extreme.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. If tonight's movie night is just what you need, make it special with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.